Welcome back to Pack Mentality. I'm Matt Banwart. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, Caitlin and I are going to be chatting about the workout Murph. So Memorial Day is right around the corner, and here's what we'll be covering in today's podcast. We're going to go over what Murph actually is and why we should prepare for it. We're going to be talking about how you actually need to assess your current fitness level before going right into Murph, developing a training plan. And if you're with us at Red Wolf, you've already been doing this. We're talking about briefly cover nutrition and hydration. And then finally, we'll wrap things up with mental preparation and strategies for the workout Murph. So let's dive right in. dive right into Murph. So Caitlin, can you just, for those of us, those listeners who don't even know what the workout Murph is, can you explain it to us?
So it's a Murph is a workout we do every Memorial Day. It's a hero workout. It's a hero WOD. And it is dedicated to Michael Murphy. And he, he died in combat. And so his workout is actually one that I think he did many times, at least in the movie Lone Survivor. Mm-hmm. They portray him actually doing Murph in the beginning. If you haven't seen it, definitely a movie to watch before you do the workout. We do it actually every year, or at least we watch it after or before, just because it really just ties everything together.
Yeah.
And anyway, the workout is 4x, 1 mile run, and then you'll do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and finish with a 1 mile run. And traditionally, you do it straight through, but most people do partition the reps. And so the classic one is by doing basically Cindy. So 20 rounds of 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 air squats, and kind of breaking it up like that. We won't break up the run, but the actual movements in between you can partition. And I've done them now every single style kind of possible, I guess, that actually makes sense. You know, like 10 rounds for time, 20 rounds for time, 5 rounds for time in between, straight through with a vest is also RX. So 20 pounds for guys and 14 pounds for the ladies to wear like any type of weight vest. And I've done it with a vest, without a vest. I've done it pregnant, postpartum. Always a great workout, but definitely have to mentally prepare for it every year.
Yeah, and it's kind of a tradition to do it on Memorial Day. And I've done Murph probably at least 50 or 60 times in my 17 years of doing CrossFit now. And I remember the first time I saw it pop up on CrossFit.com, because that was really the only place where I could get programming at the time. And I looked at that and I was like, are you serious? And then I read the story. And then later that year, the book actually came out, Lone Survivor. It came out around, I think, I want to say in 2009 or so.
I don't know.
Maybe 2010. That was when I remember getting it on audiobook. And I was in college at the time, and I just started CrossFit. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is like the first time, like, kind of, you know, there's a whole story behind this workout. And so it was really special to me. I remember I read the book 2 or 3 times. It actually inspired me to actually kind of want to join the military. Mm-hmm. And I remember after I read the book and I started doing CrossFit, I started swimming. And I was like, huh, maybe I'll go to the Navy recruiter and see what the SEAL teams is like. And I went to the Navy recruiter and talked to him, and I was like, I want to go to Buds. And he's like, he chuckled. He's like, you want to be a SEAL, bro? And I'm like, yeah, why not? I read this book. Sounds cool. I was I've been swimming, you know, with the fins and for a mile. And I remember, he's like, well, how are you medically? That was like one of his first questions. Cause that's one of the first things that disqualify people from any kind of special operations is like some sort of medical ailment, because you have to be intelligent. You have to be a physical specimen as well. And I remember I told him that I was colorblind. He's like, okay, here, let's just see if you can even pass this test really quick. I have it right here. And so he pulled it out. I did the test and failed miserably. And he's like, yeah, you couldn't even be a fireman in the Navy with us. And he didn't even try and recruit me for another job for the Navy.
Oh, wow.
He sat there, and this was like a pretty quick meeting. And he goes, you know, the Marine Corps is cool. They'll take anyone. And I was like, thanks. And so I decided to pursue CrossFit instead. So that's kind of my Murph story.
Simply from colorblindness, huh?
Simply from colorblindness. I decided that maybe CrossFit might be, that's a sign. And I was like, hey, maybe CrossFit is a better route. Maybe I should pursue this instead. And I remember leading up to go before my recruiter, I was still training anyways. I got a chance to meet Dave Castro, who at the time was the director of training for CrossFit HQ, and he went away and now he's back. And I actually got a chance to chat with him about it, about what it was like being in the SEAL teams. And later, and he told me, he was like, that he was lead instructor of SEAL qualification training. And I was like, oh, which is their advanced training after BUDS. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. He even told me to shoot him an email. I was too scared. Didn't do it. got a chance to talk to a few other SEAL acquaintances who gave me some great advice and super helpful, very not egotistical at all, very like helpful, be like, hey, like you know, if you get in, like I can actually call me and I can actually kind of give you a preview of what's going to come up next, so you're kind of prepared. And I'm like, okay. So they were very helpful, very, very nice people who were trying to help me. And then but CrossFit kind of took off for me, started competing, and then I remember doing Murph twice in one day
yeah, day
preparing for the Navy, thinking that I was going to go into the military.
Wow.
So I did Murph in the morning, and then I did it again. I did it in the morning with a vest, unpartitioned. And then I came back at night, probably 8 hours later, and I did it again with no vest and partitioned.
Okay.
And it's not that bad.
Yeah.
When you do it again. Unpartitioned. Yeah, when you do it partitioned again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my Murph story from back in my early days.
Wow. I don't really remember one specifically. They all just kind of blend together.
Yeah. Well, back then there weren't that many Hero Watts yet.
Yeah, true.
Because I mean, they just started.
There are so many now.
I think Murph was one of the original Hero workouts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's one of the most popular and most well known, even beyond the CrossFit community.
What was your best time?
Unpartitioned, without a vest.
Whatever.
I was probably in the mid. I was in the low 30s.
Wow, that's really good.
But no vest.
Okay.
Yeah,
unfortunately. Yeah, definitely no vest.
I was like 100 pounds.
People can definitely do it in like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
No vest.
I was a lot lighter too. I couldn't lift for crap. Like I was very weak, but I could run fast, and I was really good at body weight back then.
Stuff,
yeah, I was like 165 pounds.
And if you do it partitioned, for sure, 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But like the average person, I guess, would take, it's closer to an hour. Usually we give people an hour to do the workout.
Right. Absolutely. Let's move into, so now we kind of understand the background behind Murph. He was a U.S. Navy SEAL. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for heroism in Afghanistan. The full story is behind it is that he actually exposed himself to gunfire to save his team because they were in the mountains of Afghanistan, that their main radio wasn't working. So he used a sat phone. And so the satellite phone was able to be picked up. And so they could pinpoint the Taliban was able to pinpoint their location. It was only a 4-man recon team, and then they were probably, I think what I read, that they were facing at least 100 plus Taliban against a 4-man team.
That's what the movie portrayed too.
Yeah, and Marcus Luttrell was the only one who survived, unfortunately. And then Murph was awarded the Medal of Honor for exposing himself to gunfire before he was finally overrun by fighters.
Yeah.
Great story. I mean, sad story, but great story and very inspiring. And I think it's really easy to forget why we do Hero Wads in the first place. It's really easy to look at the Hero Wad and be like, oh man, this is going to be such a killer workout, when really there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And it's really important to remember when we do this, that we do it out of respect for the people who didn't come home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were all CrossFitters.
I mean, that's the whole point of it, is that like most of them all have done CrossFit or still do CrossFit. And so that's kind of what ties it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's get into the meat and potatoes, shall we? So let's go over assessing your current fitness level before you actually pursue Murph. Now, this is more for people who are listening who have never done Murph, don't really know what it is, and who are interested in maybe trying this for the first time. So let's talk about conducting an actual realistic fitness assessment.
Well, I guess the meat of the workout comes down to pull-ups and push-ups. So I think you have to assess first, how is your upper body strength?
Yeah,
and
I agree.
You know, I've seen a lot of people. You know what? The main one that sticks out is people who came back after COVID, and Memorial Day was like, right, because we started back in May, like opening up the gyms.
Were we allowed to?
I don't know. Probably not. but we did open back up in May, and Murph was a big thing. Everyone was like, are we still going to do it? And we're like, I mean, yeah, we're still going to do it, but you guys need to like really think about, when was the last time you did pull-ups? You know, because you know, you can easily get rhabdo. Like that's definitely just comes from, you know, kipping pull-ups, butterfly pull-ups, the constant contraction in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen many times, and it did actually happen that year. I remember somebody got rhabdo because they came back and you know, they thought they were still fresh and they still could do it. But 100 reps, I mean, that's a lot, you know, especially if you're trying to like do it RX or with a vest or anything like that. So definitely assess your upper body strength. Air squats, we can all do that. And I don't think 300 is really unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And then also assessing your running ability. I mean, not too many people run 2 miles in one workout, you know, 1 mile maybe. So definitely assessing, like, do I need to scale back the run or change that up as well?
Or yeah, or worst case scenario, you just kind of scale the reps or you scale the workouts themselves, the entire workout itself. And with, in terms of range of motion, so you can do like knee pushups, ring rows or something along those levels. So do you, what like would be like the tiers or avatars that you would kind of through this? Let's kind of go
I've done them all actually, because like I said, I did it pregnant, postpartum, all in between.
So let's run through that.
I've done it with seated pull up. And I've done it also with ring row as far as the pull-up goes. Also jumping pull-up, another way to do it. And then from there, obviously just strict pull-up. Mm-hmm. I've done it strict pull-up and then a kipping pull-up or butterfly pull-up, either one, a dynamic pull-up. And then I guess those are the main levels. And then for push-up, you would go elevated push-up. I really like bar elevated push-up or mm-hmm. bench elevated push-up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Knee push-up, if you're able to do it properly, I guess, and staying tight in your core, easy to start just doing slinky push-up off your knees. Really, there's no point to that.
Yeah.
So I avoid knee push-up at all costs, and then obviously just regular push-up, chest mm-hmm. to ground. Air squat, you can do it to a target. I think that would be the really only way to scale it, mm-hmm. is just to elevate the target or just have a target, a bottom position to constantly hit.
Okay, so like a box or a bench or a med ball or something.
I like med ball just because it's a nice soft object.
Yeah.
And it can get you low enough to the ground.
Yeah, and from there, you probably scale the run depending on the person's ability level to run.
Yep, correct? You can run. Okay. I've also done it biking, doing it as a skier, doing it as a row, mm-hmm. doing it as an echo bike. I mean, so many options. You just have to find, it's more about time, I think, on the machine. So you have to think, okay, how long is the run going to take mm-hmm. on average? I think the average person, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So you have to think how long, or what distance am I trying to hit on those machines if I'm doing it for about 8 minutes?
Right. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Thank you for covering that. Let's move into setting realistic goals and expectations. So we already established that we allow for an hour and that like a really good time would be, if you partitioned it, would be like sub 30 with no vest, most mm-hmm. likely. What are your thoughts on kind of setting realistic goals and expectations for Murph?
If it's your first time doing Murph, just try to get it around an hour. Don't really push yourself in any other way, but just being around an hour is awesome, especially if it's, you know, your first time. If you're a veteran in it and you're trying to change up the style you do it, meaning partitioned or weight vests or whatnot, I think an average time or just a realistic time would be about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, a really awesome time would be closer to 30, whether it be with a vest or without, somewhere around there. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think the longest times at the gym have generally been about 75 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't really see too many people going over that, and I wouldn't want them to either. Mm-hmm. So that's why scaling the workout to know that you need to finish under 75 minutes to an hour, like you need to scale the movements so that you can do that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And let's go and go over expectations in terms of what people should feel during the workout.
Oh, it's gonna feel terrible. It's gonna feel terrible. You want to quit for sure. Absolutely, you're gonna.
It's a long workout.
Yeah, just even in the first mile, man, you're just like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And then once you hit that first mile and it's done, it's like, all right, well, might as well keep going, right? But then if you are partitioning the reps and you're in that first 100 pull-ups, man, like that's where it gets real.
For me, the reality sets in actually on the push-ups.
Oh, if I don't partition, 200 push-ups.
200 push-ups get to me.
Unpartitioned is the hardest part for sure, because your arms just go completely jello when you're at about 50 and you got 150 more.
Yeah, the push-ups, I think, even if you are partitioning it, can start to add up, especially mm-hmm. if you're wearing a vest. Even if you're partitioning it with a vest, it adds up. I think even body weight, mm-hmm. if you're doing your push-ups correctly, they start adding up. If you find the push-ups are easy, maybe you should have someone watch you do your push-ups, because you might not be doing it right.
I agree.
Yeah, make sure you hit full depth on those air squats too. Don't cheat those.
Oh yeah, I mean, if we talk about standards for just a little bit here, again, it's a hero workout. The standards should be, I mean, they're always good, but for a hero workout, they should be extra high.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're doing it for someone, and I just feel like they deserve the very best. They gave their all. And so we need to give our all as well and make sure those standards are high. Chin over bar on the pull-up. If you can't, you need to scale it. Don't just like try to get there. On the push-ups, again, full range of motion, locking it out at the top, touching the bottom, or getting to full range of motion at the bottom. And then on the air squat, hitting full depth and keeping and at the top and the bottom. How many times do you see people hit full depth at the bottom?
And they don't stand all the way up.
They're like bent over the entire time. And then they complain that their back hurts. I'm like, well, yeah, you're hunched over like the entire workout.
Yeah.
So makes sense. So yeah, just making sure you have full range of motion and giving it your best, because again, it's for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move into developing a training plan. Now, we've been doing a set training plan at the gym at Red Wolf, our gym. So let's kind of get into like how you kind of go about designing the training program for specifically Murph, kind of what we're doing this year, mm-hmm. what we've done in the past, and kind of just kind of give us the rundown of that.
It started a few months ago with originally our challenge of 50 push-ups a day. That was kind of like,
we did the pull-ups too.
Yeah. And we did the pull-ups after. So that was kind of my idea of training of, okay, we're going to start early and just kind of get a lot of volume in, mm-hmm. get us used to it. And then hopefully that'll, help us out when time comes. And so that's where it started. And then we did the pull-up challenge to get better at that. We're always squatting. We're always doing lower body. I'm not really like concerned with anybody's ability to do 300 air squats, yeah. especially at our gym. If you aren't squatting at least 100 reps three times a week in some way, shape or form, whether it be back squat, front squat, or your Olympic lifts, then yeah, I think you need to probably work on your volume. But for us, we are kind of always hitting that.
Yeah.
And then, this last few, maybe like 4 weeks, we've been doing pull-ups, or a lot of upper body at least, pull-ups and push-ups or pressing at least twice a week, if not three times. If you come to our bodybuilding class, you'll probably do it again there. And then on the weekends, we've been dedicating our Saturday to Murph prep. And so we've been doing Murph in different styles. I mean, Murph can be boring at times, so I've definitely changed it up this year. I mean, today's workout was quite a doozy. I heard it was like 100 burpee pull-ups, and yeah. then they had to do shuttle runs and air squats and push-ups in between.
Right.
And yeah, that was like a 36-minute workout for many people. And again, like that's like the fast time on Murph is like in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've been prepping every weekend, doing at least a 30-to-40-minute workout. With a vest or without, and that way we're kind of conditioned mentally and physically as well.
Yeah, I really like how we implemented the push-ups and pull-up challenge early on to build that volume. So that way we're ready to take on the training leading up to Murph, where it was a little more specific, and then now we're doing Murph on Saturday this year instead of Monday. And it was really nice to be able to see that progression, at least in my eyes. And it was nice not having to like cram the last 4 weeks to preparing for Murph. We actually started a few months ago, and as well as workouts, you can't just show up and do. It's not like your local 5K. Like you have to prepare, because last thing you want to do is get injured or get overused, and it will affect your recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the best people are going to be the ones that can recover the fastest. And if you've been prepping for this should actually be like, I wouldn't say easy, but you'll feel prepared.
Yeah.
It won't feel crushing.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things that I see that people make a mistake in program design is they actually think they need to up the volume the closer they get to like either an event day or competition or like Murph like this, mm-hmm. where it's actually the opposite. You actually want to accumulate as much volume early on to build that base. And then from there, you actually increase the intensity. So it starts with high volume, low intensity, kind of like what we did with the challenges. And then as you move closer to the event itself, you actually decrease the volume and you up the intensity. So that way you're fresh for the workout itself.
Yep. And that's kind of like this past week, we had that workout 10 rounds for time with like the running and the pull-ups unbroken. Mm-hmm. And so just like really breaking down the workout and hitting it hard and seeing like what you're capable of. Hopefully that gives you a good picture as to how to plan for your workout when you know, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And so during that time, we really worked on building strength. We always work on strength mm-hmm. because it's the number one thing that you lose as you age. And, you know, regardless of where you're at or what stage you are, you should always be doing some sort of strength training. And then we've also been incorporating the endurance training. So we've been running a lot more. We've been doing a lot more aerobic work. We hit that long Murph specific prep on every Saturday. And about, I think what, every Tuesday, Thursday, we do kind of a heavier aerobic workout
yeah.
than what we usually do. And then finally, mobility. We make sure that we really hit our mobility before class almost every time. Make sure our hips are ready. Make sure our shoulders are prepped. Make sure that we're taking care of our forearms, wrists, and hands for that volume. So,
yeah, I mean, that's mobility is huge. And I think that's the biggest thing I see with our new members is how stiff they are. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our members have been with us for, you know, 5+ years. We have a lot of 5-year vets at our gym. And so, you got those of you who have been with us for a long time, you're actually really mobile compared to other people who haven't been working out. I mean, the drastic difference between just doing, you know, like downward dog, Cobra, and Spider-Man every day, just mm-hmm. those three things, to the average person, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, just keep stretching, movement is key, yeah. like for sure. I mean, and I see it with our newer clients. It's just so much stiffness from honestly sitting and not moving.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really good that we actually spend time to work on things like pause squats, mm-hmm. for example, is a great way to increase your hip mobility without yeah. actually directly stretching because you actually have weight. Mm-hmm. Kind of putting you into that position.
Yes, absolutely. I talk about this a lot and passive stretching versus active stretching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the passive stretching is just doing basic holds with just your body weight, really. Mm-hmm. Active stretching is, you know, working through range of motion with something bearing down on you, whether it be a band or a weight or a barbell or whatever. But that is actively working on your range of motion. And I really emphasize that, especially with the upper back, and when you're pressing overhead, you have to really push the bar back behind you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a tight person already, like you have to really exaggerate it in order to get better. And trust me, like working on it, you know, a little bit every single day, it is going to add up tremendously in the end.
Yeah, that compounding effect, I think, is something that is really easy to ignore because, for example, going off that mobility thing, I make my primary stretch every day. If I don't stretch at all, I do this one, and mm-hmm. it's the straddle stretch, and I do that holding yeah. myself against the rig, and I'm like, well, if I don't stretch today, this will be the only one I do, and I do it for about 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and that has but done wonders for my adductors yeah. and my mobility because that was the tightest part, and my squats have gotten better. Mm-hmm. I'm able to stay more upright in yes. my overhead squat and snatch. And it's like, I should have been doing this 12 years ago.
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, I hear this all the time when I tell someone, like, again, for example, with the pressing the bar over the head, somebody will say, Caitlin, I can't do that. And I'm like, I know you can't do that, but that doesn't mean you don't try and you don't work on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you can't push the bar behind your head. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So let's really exaggerate and focus on that. And over time, it's going to get better.
Right. And yeah, it's one of those things where people, in terms of expectations, expect things to get good really quickly.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel like you're in the same spot for a while. And then suddenly it's going to click and you probably won't even notice.
Years, people. Yeah. Like, I'm serious. It's going to take years, especially if you aren't like Matt or I, where we're obsessive over fitness. So like
we've just been doing it for a
while. Yeah. So we do it a lot. And if you're not like us, you have to understand it's going to take even longer because you're not going to do it every day. So you can't expect something to change overnight.
Yeah. And that's the important thing about having coaches, having a gym to actually physically go to is that, you know, there's several people out there, a small percentage of the population who can do it on their own, mm-hmm. who are self-motivated yeah. and can hold themselves accountable.
Yeah. But probably one in a million.
Yeah. But let's be real. Most of you aren't like that.
No.
So you need someone to hold you accountable to actually do mobility. Like, let's be real. If you're listening to this right now, how many of you actually do mobility, like actual mobility, not just kind of maybe stretch. Yeah. But actually do it and do it well.
Yeah.
No. And then you're probably wasting your time.
Even when you come to class, I mean, and we're having you guys stretch, like sometimes people only do like one Spider-Man each leg and they're like, yeah. Hey, good.
Exactly. But that's for a whole other podcast.
Anyway, yeah, we'll get into a little that. Tangent there.
Let's go and go into nutrition and hydration for Murph. Let's actually talk about kind of leading up to the day.
Well, you got to start, you know, before that.
Yeah, way before that.
Definitely start like the week of. So we're doing it on Saturday. You need to start prepping Sunday, especially, okay, grocery shopping. Plan for the week. That week has to be on point, especially if you don't want to die on Saturday from this workout. Okay, that week needs to be on point. I don't know, order meal prep if you have to. Just make sure you've got your protein and your carbohydrates dialed. Like, this is the one time, people, where, you know, you got to make sure you have carbohydrates, because that's what's going to be fueling your workout.
Yeah.
So, you know, plan accordingly for that. Have good carbs that week, fruits, vegetables, all those things. And then, yeah, drink a lot of water and a lot of electrolytes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure you try to get electrolytes in. You can easily buy a pack of Smart Water or whatever. Evian is my favorite. And you just buy a pack of six, drink that during the week, mm-hmm. one a day, and just make sure you have that dialed. Like, you right. don't need to go out and buy a supplement or anything. Mm-hmm. Just like buy the water and make it easy for yourself and prep that way. No. Also, just a side note, drinking electrolyte water every day is like a huge game changer. So if you haven't started doing that, you should.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. What about post?
Oh, post-workout. Oh, yeah. Definitely eat within an hour of Murph, please. Like, you need to refuel. Your body needs it. Yeah, bring some water or Smart Water or electrolytes post-workout. Movement, again, is key. Sunday, the day after you do Murph, you have to move around. Like, try not to get too stiff. And then, yeah, just make sure you have good foods available right after that. Probably you're going to want to eat a pizza. Don't go eat a pizza.
I'll eat a pizza.
Yeah, maybe. It's Memorial Day weekend. Who knows?
I'll do it.
but, you know, yeah, just feel well and keep moving afterwards. I fear that people who sit right after are just going to get so tight.
Yeah, definitely keep moving around. That's my suggestion as well. Keep moving. Make sure you get get some healthy carbs in you and eat plenty of protein, drink lots of water. Just don't go straight for a beer, please. but you should still enjoy your Memorial Day, but please do so responsibly.
PSA.
PSA. All right, let's move into our final segment here, where let's talk about mental preparations and actual strategies for breaking up Murph. All right, so the main part.
See, like I said, there's just a few ways to do it. 20 rounds for time, I think, is the easiest mentally to do, because it's low rep and you can just kind of keep moving, ticking away. I know 20 rounds seems like a lot, but in reality,
it goes by pretty fast.
It goes by so fast, especially because it's low rep. If you're a little bit more advanced, I would go 10 rounds for time, 10, 20, 30, straight down. That one, if you can handle the push-ups, the 20 push-ups, that one is much better to do, because 10 rounds, much more mentally doable than 20.
That's probably my favorite one.
Yeah. So if you can handle the 20 push-ups, do 10 rounds for time. And then the last one would be like 4 or 5 rounds if you want to break it up that way.
It was like 4 rounds of 25?
Yeah, 4 rounds of 25. Or 5 rounds, I guess, would be 20, 40, 60.
Oh, it's 20, 40, 60. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And then, I mean, you could do 4 rounds instead. But I don't think I have done 4 rounds. 5 rounds is probably what it is.
Yeah.
And then again, straight through, if you are like really hardcore and you want to push yourself this year, go unpartitioned. Straight through. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a classic. If you haven't done it that way and you've done it and you've done been with us for a while, give it a shot. Just so you've done it once.
Exactly, because that's technically the real way.
Yeah, I've retired that from myself personally, because I've done it unpartitioned so many times. So
yeah,
I've done it unpartitioned more times than I've done it partitioned. So I'm balancing it out.
I see. What are you gonna do this year? Weight vest or no weight vest?
I'm not gonna wear a vest this year.
Okay, and you're gonna go partitioned.
I think I'm gonna go partitioned, but I'm gonna do the 5 rounds, because okay. last year I think I did the 10, and that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
So I think this year I'm gonna do the 20, 40, 60.
I see. I don't know. Last year I did it strict, unpartitioned.
Yeah, I did it strict last year too.
Strict unpartitioned, meaning strict pull-ups. I mean, strict push-ups, whatever.
strict air squats.
Strict air squats. So strict pull-ups last year. No, maybe I did it partitioned. I did strict pull-ups. I don't know what I did. I know I did it strict, though. I'm debating if I should do it weight vest this year, strict. I did just PR my pull-ups at 20 unbroken strict pull-ups. So I'm feeling pretty good. Thank you. I'm feeling pretty good about the pull-ups. So I was thinking about doing weight vest strict. Now, if I do it unpartitioned or not, probably game day decision.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. Any final other strategies or mental prep techniques that people can take away from this?
No, I just think, remember, you're doing it for somebody. Every year, I have that little anxiety of like, oh man, this is a tough workout again. But for me, at least personally, I mentally tell myself like it's more than just me.
Yeah.
So that helps me a lot, and that helps me push through.
Yeah. There are harder hero workouts out there.
Oh, much harder.
That we've done. And we've since then, like Murph used to have the stipulation because it was so hard, because it was so long, because we were so used to shorter workouts back in the day. Like 20 minutes was like a super long workout back then. But since then, we've definitely done some very hard workouts. So if you've been coming to Red Wolf for a while and you've done some long workouts, you are more than prepared to do this. So come on in and give it a shot and have a good time and do this with your friends. It should be a blast.
Yep, I agree.
All right.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. And if you made it this far on the podcast, I do have a free guide for you. It's a Murph prep guide. Now, this is more for people who aren't at Red Wolf, but it's still very helpful. So if you want it, feel free to DM me at Red Wolf Matt, and I will send you a copy of our ebook. I think it's 17 pages.
Sweet.
Of Murph prep, and it goes over everything you need to know. And I know it's a little late because we're going to do it soon, but you could still save it for next year or share it with a friend.
For sure.
I think that just about does it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun.
Nailed it.